And trust the message this evening, the study would be an encouragement to you. As we near the end of this book, we'll finish with a study next week on Wednesday evening. It'll be our last study through the book of Philemon. And notice here, if you will, of course, the Apostle Paul, as we mentioned last week, we looked at verse 22 and the importance of prayer, the power of prayer, and how Paul said, but withal, in verse number 22, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. And then we come to verses 23 and 24, and Paul is making these final remarks here as he's closing up the book of Philemon. We find that he mentions five people by name, and he requests that Philemon will greet them on his behalf. Notice it says, there, salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. And I've titled the message from verse number 24 this evening, My Fellow Laborers. I am so thankful for the privilege of serving the Lord. You know, serving God is a privilege, and I also believe not only is serving God a privilege, but serving God brings joy to the believer's life. And we sing the song, there is joy in serving Jesus. And there certainly is joy in serving Jesus, and it's a privilege and an honor. What a joy to think that God would use any of us. Amen? And that we can partner with Him and we can serve Him. The reality is that God equips His children for the purpose of service. We are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. And I'm thankful that He equips us and He gives us the talents and the gifts and the abilities, and He equips us for His service. And we also have this truth that He's promised to be with us. Aren't you thankful that He equips us and then He's with us? We are co-laborers with God, is what Paul says to the believers in Corinth. And we think about the joy of serving the Lord in the strength of the Lord, and that He is with us and He promises to never leave us nor forsake us. And then think about this truth that He then sends fellow laborers. We're not in this all alone. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that? What a blessing to have some brothers and sisters in Christ, some folks to serve the Lord together, and not to be in a place where we're all alone. Remember, Elijah had that syndrome there for a little while where he thought he was the only one, and God reminded him that there were 7,000 that had not bowed the knee to Baal. And we think about the privilege of serving the Lord one with another, and we certainly should rejoice in the privilege of that service together. We look at the term fellow laborers here at the end of verse number 24, and the word literally just means a companion in work, a fellow worker. Begin to think about the fellow laborers that Paul mentions, and we'll look at each of them. There are five of them that he mentions, and then just share a couple of thoughts with you this evening. But notice he starts by saying, there salute thee, Epaphras. And this is the first one that he mentions, not only as being a fellow laborer, but you notice there at the end of verse number 23, he says, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. And we find that Paul is writing this particular letter from prison, as he does several of them. He had mentioned to Philemon back in verse number 10 that I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. And so he speaks about Epaphras here, his fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. Turn back to the book of Colossians, if you will. When we think about the servant of the Lord, Epaphras, we find that he is a church leader at the church in Colossae. And we find that it's Epaphras that brought news to Paul with regard to this group of believers there in Colossae. You may remember as we studied the book of Colossians last year, but here in Colossians 1, notice what the Bible says in verse number 7, as Paul begins to describe this man Epaphras. He says, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. And what great commendation that comes from the Apostle Paul for this man Epaphras. He mentions that he is a fellow servant. He calls him our dear fellow servant. You see the love and the unity there. And then he mentions to the believers at the church in Colossae, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. I'm thankful for those that are faithful. Amen. Our God is faithful, and we ought to rejoice in the faithful God that we serve. Great is thy faithfulness. But it's a joy to find someone that is faithful. A faithful man, the book of Proverbs says, who can find? And what a joy when you find some folks that are faithful, that just follow the Lord, stick to it, and that they are trustworthy and dependable. And Paul says of Epaphras that he is a faithful minister of Christ. What a joy to think about this man, Epaphras, faithfully fulfilling the work that God had given him to do. In the fourth chapter of the book of Colossians, Paul will mention Epaphras again in verse number 12. In the concluding marks of the book of Colossians, we find that Paul actually lists a number of fellow servants, and he would use the term here as he speaks about Epaphras again of being a servant of Christ. Notice in verse number 12, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you. But then I want you to notice what the Bible says about Epaphras at the end of verse number 12, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. That's encouraging, isn't it? To think about this man Epaphras, who was a faithful minister to the believers in Colossae. Some would believe that he potentially was the pastor of the church in Colossae. And whatever his role was, we know that he was a faithful minister, a faithful servant. And we know that he was serving Christ and he was serving the church. And Paul says that this man Epaphras, as Paul would observe his behavior, he says that he was always laboring fervently for you in prayers. That's encouraging. Man of prayer. Man who understood the importance of prayer, the priority of prayer, the power of prayer. We find that he's praying. Notice what it says at the end of verse number 12, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. You know, the desire of Epaphras is that these that he had the privilege of serving would live a life that was pleasing to God. That was his desire. His desire was that these believers would stand perfect and complete in all the will of God, that they would hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," that they would run their race, pleasing the one for whom they ran. We find that Epaphras is mentioned here in the book of Philemon. He says, "There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus." Next is Marcus. We know Marcus. He goes by John and John Mark and Mark. And we find that his name is mentioned throughout the scriptures. And we might be mindful of the fact that it was this one, Marcus, according to Acts chapter number 13, that went on that first missionary journey. And he went on that first missionary journey, and many of us are familiar with that first missionary journey, the difficulties that they faced as they went into the region of Galatia. For some matters unknown really to us as far as the specific details, the Bible tells us that he left. He returned to, and he did not go with them. We read that in Acts 13, in verse number 13, with regard to the departure, and he returned to Jerusalem. And we find, however, that he would go later on, according to chapter number 15 of the book of Acts, he would go with Barnabas, according to verses 37 and 38. Why did he go with Barnabas? Well, because Paul didn't think it was wise to take him with them because of what had happened the first time. And let me say this. Now we find near the end of the life of Paul, we find that he's mentioning about Marcus, his fellow laborer. And we find that there's an amazing statement made in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. I call it amazing because I'm thankful for the humility and recognition of Paul, and I'm thankful that a single failure doesn't have to define our lives. Amen? Because the reality is that we've all failed at some point. right? And a single failure does not have to define all of our days. We find that Paul would write in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, we looked at part of this passage on Sunday morning, finishing our course, and we find that in verse number 10, let's look at verse 11, we'll look at 10 in just a few minutes as we make our way through the list, but notice in verse number 11, he says, "Only Luke is with me." Then he says this, "Take Mark." It's the same one that he's referring to in the book of Philemon, Marcus. He says, "Take Mark and bring him with thee." Why? "For he," Mark, "is profitable to me for the ministry." Isn't that awesome? Paul recognized that God still works in people's lives. You know, sometimes God gives second and third and 40th chances, but we as human beings, sometimes we are too prideful or whatever it might be that we don't give anyone a second chance. Man, they hurt me, they failed me, forget it. That's not how God is. Aren't you thankful for that? And that's really not how we should be as the people of God. And we find that Paul mentions here about this one Mark, who he refers to as Marcus in the book of Philemon. He says, "This man is profitable to me for the ministry." Now think about that. There was division between him and Barnabas that they weren't going to take this man on the next missionary journey. But God worked in Mark's life and he grew, and Paul said, "That guy is profitable to me for the ministry." What a blessing. Notice he mentions Aristarchus there in verse number 24, the third person that he mentions. This man is from Thessalonica. He went on the third missionary journey with the Apostle Paul, and you could read in Acts chapter number 19 and verse 29 how that he was a companion with Paul. Of course, some of the difficulties in which they encountered during that third missionary journey, and he was a faithful servant of the Lord. We don't know a whole lot about him. There's only a few mentions of him being a companion and accompanying Paul there on that third missionary journey, but we find that he's referred to here as being a fellow laborer. We're mindful of this next one, number four, Demas. Now, most of us, when we think about Demas, we often just think about what the Bible says in 2 Timothy 4 in verse number 10, where the Bible tells us that Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. And we can see that this fellow laborer, unfortunately, he forsook Paul. He forsook the Lord. The Bible says that he hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. At one point, he was a fellow laborer. At one point, he was a co-laborer. He was a fellow worker, and Paul was saying, greet him. Paul was thankful for his service and for his ministry, but we find that the Bible tells us that he forsook having loved this present world. It reminds us of the great danger that we face. We have an enemy. We have an enemy. The Bible tells us, as we've studied through the book of 1 John this year on Sunday mornings, that we're to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. In 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17, we find that this man Demas, he got his eyes in the wrong place, having loved this present world. It's a reminder to us that we have an enemy. We could be considered a fellow laborer today, but not finish our course. It's amazing to me as I preach the message on Sunday morning about finishing with no regrets and getting from Acts 20 and verse 24 to 2 Timothy 4 verses 6 and 7, and how do we get there? And we dealt with that subject. And then this evening, as we look at this list of fellow laborers that Paul mentions, we see within this list Marcus and Demas. And you think about I mentioned this on Sunday morning, it's not always about how we start, it's about how we finish. And I'm thankful that at the end of Paul's life that he's able to say of Mark, bring him, for he's profitable to me for the ministry. And it's sad, it's unfortunate. I believe it probably broke his heart when he was penning those words in 2 Timothy 4 with regard to Demas having forsaken him, having loved this present world. And then we find Lucas is mentioned there, the last one, the fifth name that is mentioned in the book of Philemon. He mentions that in verse number 24. And Luke, of course, is the physician, the human penman to the Gospel of Luke, the one that accompanied, also to the book of Acts, the one that accompanied Paul on many journeys. And you remember, as we read there in 2 Timothy 4 and verse number 11, before he talks about sending Mark, he says, only Luke is with me. And Luke was a faithful companion as they took the missionary journeys, as they had the opportunity to preach the gospel, and God used Luke in a great way. And we don't read a whole lot about Luke, but we know that he was faithful and he was there serving the Lord, and God used him as Paul was there serving and his fellow laborer companion in the ministry. So I think about this passage of Scripture in Philemon as we near the end of the book, and he's mentioning these co-laborers, mentions five of them, his fellow laborers. I want you to think about this, just two simple thoughts this evening. Number one, Paul remembered his fellow laborers. You know, I think it's important that we remember those that God enables us to serve with, that we're mindful of them. And Paul rehearses, not only here in the short letter of the book of Philemon, but we read in other portions of Scripture, as Paul would come to the end of writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, oftentimes in his closing remarks, you will read a list of names. And you think about how Paul was mindful. He was remembering those that God gave him the privilege of serving with. No doubt, as he would remember those fellow laborers, as he penned their names, no doubt there'd be a flood of memories that would come over him. You think about, as you even go through and rehearse in your own mind some of those that God allowed you to serve with, and maybe some that have gone home to be with the Lord, maybe some that have moved to some different location. We can still rejoice in the time that God gave us to serve Him together with those fellow laborers, and we are mindful of them. So Paul remembers them. He recognizes their labor. He recognizes their service for the Lord. And I think of this, not only did Paul remember them, but number two, Paul rejoiced. Paul rejoiced for his fellow laborers. How could he remember the fellow laborers without rejoicing? As he would recall their names, as he would, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, pen the names, he would be mindful of all that God enabled them to do, and he would remember the various cities in which they traveled and the souls that were saved, the lives that were changed, and he would think about their service, and no doubt he would rejoice greatly for what God was able to accomplish. He begins to rejoice. I believe that this leads, of course, when you think about rejoicing, that he's thanking the Lord. He's recognizing that it was God that called these fellow laborers. We often think about Paul, and we see that much of the New Testament, God used the Apostle Paul to pen many of the books of the New Testament. We read about the missionary journeys, and we read about churches established and all that was taking place, but you understand that there were a lot of fellow laborers. There are a lot of people that God called to serve alongside the Apostle Paul. We may not know as much about them. They may not have been in that leadership position, but you find that Paul recognizes that without them, how much would really be accomplished? We understand that without the Lord, we can do nothing. Right? He tells us that plainly in John 15. He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Without me, ye can do nothing. But I'm thankful that God in His wisdom allows us to have fellow laborers and that we are co-laborers together with God. The prophet in the Old Testament said, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? You think about the truth of the strength that God gives as we would serve the Lord together, and the different gifts and talents that God has given. Not everybody was equipped and gifted the way that Paul was. And there were some people that God gifted and equipped that brought them into Paul's life for the purpose of accomplishing God's will. And they were fellow laborers that had different gifts and abilities, and they were to serve as God had given them the ability. And as they served the Lord, as God had equipped them and as God had called them, they were together able to accomplish what God wanted them to accomplish. We're not on an island by ourselves. We really aren't. And the reality is we need to recognize and remember the fellow laborers that God gives us, and we need to rejoice for those fellow laborers. I think about it's been 11 years that God's allowed me to serve here as the pastor. I think about previous churches where I attended, never pastored until I came here, of course, but going to other churches, and I'm mindful of folks that God allowed me to serve Him with. People that I was on the bus ministry with, that I went soul winning with, the first man, I can't think of even what his name was, but the first one that ever took me on door-to-door soul winning. And I remember going on door knocking, and I remember being the silent partner in praying that I would remain silent and that I would not have to talk to anyone. And then I remember after a few weeks that he said, "All right, brother, here's how it's going to work. I'm going to knock this one, and then you're going to knock the next one, and we're just going to talk, and whoever answers, you get it." And I remember knocking on doors, hoping that no one answered the one that I knocked on. I'm being honest with you. And then he did this. He said, and this is what I do now if I'm going door knocking with somebody and we're taking turns, as I say, "Listen, we're not knocking doors. You do one, I do one. I'm knocking until I get to talk to somebody, and then you knock until you get to talk to somebody." Because the way it seems to work is Dean and I will go soul winning, and it seems like every door that I knock, no one's home. Every door he knocks, somebody's home. And you know, so we just kind of change it up. But the reality is I'm thankful for some people that God allowed me to serve Him with. I think about the 11 years of serving here. We have some people that have gone home to be with the Lord. Just the way it works, right? And they go on to glory. They're with Christ, which is far better, by the way. Amen? And we understand that truth. There's some that have moved away. They've retired. They've moved. They were working for the government, working for some other employer that moved them to another location. And they moved away. But God gave us a season of service with them. And I'm thankful for the fellow laborers. And then I think about the ones that are still here. The ones that God gives us the opportunity currently to be able to serve God together. And each one of us have a role and a responsibility. And it's not just a role and responsibility that we have to the pastor, but it's a role and responsibility that we have to our Savior. Because we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. And what's going to happen is when we give that account for what we've done with what He's given us and the opportunity that we have to serve Him, you're not going to stand before the pastor. You're not going to stand before some church leader. You'll stand before the Lord. And we get to serve God together. And so Paul takes some time before he gets to the final verse that we'll look at next week, verse 25, he takes just a moment to mention five people by name. And he says, these are fellow laborers. He remembered them. And I believe that as he remembered them, that it caused him to rejoice. That he was rejoicing in the work of God, the enabling of God, the mind of God, that in God's wisdom that He brings people together for the purpose of bringing glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's awesome to serve God. It is a privilege and is a great joy. My fellow laborers is what Paul says. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You for loving us. It is a joy to serve You. We thank You for the privilege. We thank You for the unique opportunity. And God, I thank You for those that are here this evening. Lord, I thank You for the folks that You've brought together at Fellowship Baptist Church that we have the privilege of serving You together as fellow laborers. God, I thank You for how You've equipped each one and how You have given them a gift, a talent, an ability. And God, I pray that You'd help each one of us to recognize Your work in our hearts and lives and that we would desire to serve You faithfully, that we would do all that You've called us to do. and that we would collectively as a local church, God, that we would bring honor and glory to thy name. I pray that you'd bless our time of prayer. We certainly thank you for the privilege of prayer. We thank you for the unique opportunity that we have to be engaged in intercessory prayer as a corporate body of believers as we come together on Wednesday evenings as a church family to pray together. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless the time, and we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.